I believe that we are living in the latter times. What I'm saying by this, I think that our second coming is next week or necessarily next year or very, very soon, that I think it'd be hard pressed to not say that these are the latter times. And the reason I say that is because St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that the end will not come, the coming of Christ will not come until there's been the great falling away or the great apostasy. And there is no doubt that that has happened. When we look at the disaster of Vatican II, the loss of faith and morals on the part of so many who call themselves Catholics, who attend a false worship, a Protestantized liturgy that was signed into law by Paul VI and, you know, promoted by the whole hierarchy along with the heresies of Vatican II, among them, you know, all religions are good. When we see that happen, I don't see how we can doubt that that great falling away has happened. Again, we don't know the timeline. We don't know how everything is going to play out. What's also interesting in 2 Thessalonians is that there were Thessalonians that took it so literally that they basically gave up on life. In the sense that they stopped working, they stopped, you know, living day-to-day obligations. And St. Paul uttered his famous directive in that second, that same second letter to the Thessalonians. If a man will not work, let him not eat. Because they stopped working. He said, what's the point of working? What's the point of planning? So they basically quit on the daily obligations of life. Begin just waiting around for the second coming. So what is very clear is that St. Paul tells us to live life, fulfill our daily obligations, to do our daily duty, to make plans. What if no plans were made at the time he wrote this epistle? Well, again, look how much time has gone by. So we have to live our daily obligations. We have to be ready, of course, any time to meet our Maker. So many people that been worried about the end of the world and the second coming of Christ have already passed away. I knew many of them. Their own end of the world came. And I'm not saying that in any way of disparaging, just that's the reality. One day our Lord will call us. So rather than focus primarily on the end of the world, we have to focus primarily on the end of our own life and make all the plans, fulfill all goals, especially the spiritual one, before God calls us. And in doing so, we will be best prepared for the second coming and the portents and other events that are going to happen. And yes, our Lord foretells that. Read the gospel for the last Sunday after Pentecost, when our Lord talks about the end of the world talks about the signs that will precede it. So in the meantime, let us live life as we should. Let us fulfill our daily obligations. Let us work for the kingship of Christ. What is indisputable is that we are part of the church militant, and we have to stand up for what's right. Preach the gospel by our daily living of it. Regardless, whenever these other events happen, But so often there is. Vote for the things that you can. We will not preach politics from the pulpit, but we will always preach faith and morals. And so much of political law does touch upon morals. And it is incumbent on us as Catholics, as followers of Christ, to stand up for morality in society and to be voting for godly, pro-life candidates. Again, I'm not going to tell you by name who to vote for. It's not proper for the pulpit. But what is proper for the pulpit is to remind you of your moral duty to vote for the best candidates, to vote for the moral issues that are very clearly there. For example, life. Protecting the life of the unborn. We have, for your information, for the sake of information, a comparison between the Republican and the Democratic platforms, and several or more issues are directly related to morals, so we have to talk about that. This is not politics, this is morality. And when I look at the things that the Democratic Party is promoting, it's just utter evil, it's diabolical, it's out of hell. They are making it clear they're going to do everything they possibly can to keep the killing of the unborn happening. They're promoting unnatural marriage in every way. They're promoting unnatural sin. And there's almost no, and I'm not saying the Republican Party platform is perfect, not by any means. But you can see a lot more evil on the Democrat side than on the Republican side. So to vote for a pro-choice candidate is to help facilitate the murdering of unborn children and all these other evils that they promote. I remember reading from the Fatima Crusader magazine a few years ago how it went down in Italy. And remember, Italy is 95% Catholic, nominally. You couldn't tell by the way they live, but nominally, it's over 95%. But in one town, the people kept electing a communist mayor. And being a communist, he does what communists do. Anti-God, anti-Catholic, anti-moral things. And the priest got fed up with it. He told the people from the pulpit, "You're going to hell. You're enabling this evil to happen." They took his message to heart and voted out that evil candidate. So there is absolutely a moral obligation to vote. And again, we're not going to get who to vote for. It's pretty clear when you look at what they stand for. So, to sum up, yes, we live in most interesting times. Serious times. Humanly speaking, there's a lot of work. But let us have trust in God and trust in our Blessed Mother to bring us through whatever may happen. And we know when we use the spiritual tools that are given to us, that good things happen. And what is really great to notice is how many are praying the rosary. And I know many Vatican II Catholics are praying the rosary, and that's a good thing. I wish we could help bring them out of their false ideas and false liturgy and false beliefs. But at least this is a good thing. It's always going to be a starts with us, right? On a daily basis, we look inside ourselves. The battle is there because we have this fallen nature. And we're going to be struggling on an individual basis every day. Who am I going to be faithful to, God or to self? To God or to the kingdom of this world? We choose God. We choose our holy Catholic faith. We choose the following Jesus Christ. It's not an easy path, as our Lord himself said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We see this so perfectly exemplified, don't we, in today's saint, St. Francis of Assisi. He imitated Christ to the ultimate degree. When you look at his life, the first part of his life was worldly and selfish, but he totally gave himself to Christ. And he totally lived for God. And he lived the most radically virtuous living of the daily gospel. He founded the Order of Friars Minor, helped found the Order of the Poor Clares and of the Third Order of Franciscans. That's real Catholicism. Yes, he had charity for everyone. But he always taught what, of course, the gospel preaches. Love God first. Keep his law. Be faithful to God. And for the love of God, love and help one another. That lesson has been lost in the modern world. It's more of a humanitarian sort of thing. You know, it's just human fraternity. No, it has to be focused on God. One other point regarding this democratic platform, God is mentioned only one time. There's no reminder that there are God-given rights that no government can take away. This Pope Pius XII said, and I put the excerpt in today's bulletin, and I'll sum it up, but basically he says, when God is removed from government, the government starts to act like it is God. It looks at itself as the ultimate desire of what's going to happen. And that, well, that is the description for totalitarianism, communism, and tyranny. So it is the focusing on God as the ultimate. And human law should reflect this obedience to God's commandments. That is the real safeguard of human liberty and of human fraternity when God is emphasized and put first. So, just wanted to share these thoughts with you, my dear brethren. Be zealous in your faith. Be zealous in praying the daily rosary. Really make that a very fervent connection with our Lord and our Lady in your daily life. Spread that devotion to others. Again, great.